Could I just get a confirmation in the Zoom chat that you can hear us in chambers?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thanks, Courtney.
If I did, actually, hypothetically, it's for Wednesday. If it's for tomorrow, I would just send it
to the account. The deadline to submit is 3:30 p.m.
All right. Well, that was a wonderful conversation. I have a joke for everyone. What do you call a cow with two legs? A cow with two legs.
A standing cow. Oh.
What? Lean beef. Oh yeah, see, I already screwed the joke up. It's because there's so many other people going, yeah. What'd you say? Okay, that was close.
Okay, council, it is 6:03, so I will call this meeting to order. I just want to check with our clerk. Are you ready for us to? Good. Okay. Okay, so starting with the land acknowledgements. The University of Alberta and the University of Alberta Students' Union occupy Indigenous land in the Amiskwichiwaskayakan, or Beaver Hills House, on Treaty 6 territory. From time immemorial, the banks along the river valley have been known as the Pahonin, a meeting place for the Nihiyawak, Cree, the Niitsitapi, Blackfoot, Métis, Dene Suliné, Ojibwe, Soto, Anishinaabe, Haudenosaunee, and others. The university, the students' union, and much of the city are located on the unlawfully stolen land of the forcibly removed Papaschase Cree. We acknowledge that sharing this land gives us each of us the responsibility to research the historic context of Treaty 6, to reflect on our personal relationships to the land, the nations we've named, and to our roles in upholding justice on this territory. Since they began, the Students' Union and the university have benefited from the historic and ongoing dispossession of land and resources from Indigenous peoples. As a result, it is our responsibility to seek the restitution of this land and its resources. Finally, we seek to do better by working to make our learning, research, and governance align with the histories, languages, teachings, and cultures of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit peoples in the land presently occupied by the Canadian state. We encourage critical reflection by asking the following question. In relation to the territory on which you are situated, what role do you play in strengthening the resistance and resurgence of Indigenous students within your communities? And next on our prep, we do have the oath reminder. So for today, I'll just say I'd recommend all members of council to give some thought every time we come into a meeting of who we're here for, who we represent, and how we should respect those people as we engage with our peers in this space. Speaker's business. I do just have a few things today. It's pretty short. I've had conversations regarding attendance with a few people, just regarding just like attendance more broadly and also proxies. If you have any questions and we haven't spoken yet, please feel free to reach out and we can discuss like what your obligations are and what your options are if you are required to miss meetings. I will just say, because I've had a few people come to me with this, I cannot excuse absences. That's not a power I have in standing orders, but everyone is allocated a certain amount of roll calls that they're allowed to miss. And I just wanted to remind council too that the attendance record can be found in our meeting minutes. So if you just kind of want to see where you're at with your attendance, you can look there. And the benchmark is 50% of roll calls. And if you're having an issue finding a proxy, feel free to reach out. Under bylaw, like that's not a reasonable excuse in most circumstances. So if you're struggling, let me know and I can give you some support and plan for it early if you can. Next up is office hours. This is something I said in my interview, I believe, and at the start of the term. I'm hoping to have a meeting space booked in sub starting next Tuesday. I'm just kind of looking for it to be a kind of like informal thing. If you just want to come and like hang out and do work, you can do that. Or also if you have questions about council, I'll be available for you to answer those questions. I'll send out an email with like an exact time and place for that in the coming week. And finally, it was GovCamp this last weekend. I saw a lot of really great social media posts over the last few days, and I've heard some good feedback from counselors that I've talked to today. But I just wanted to invite Courtney to give a little bit of a recap.
Hello, can everybody hear me? I'm going to take that as a yes, because I'm going to start rambling. GovCamp happened this weekend, as you all know, and I think it was a really great experience. There was a lot of sessions, a lot of activity and team building. So I think a lot of great things happened there. I think some of the highlights for me was the mock students council and the agenda creation, as it was so rightly called in CAC as 1960 style, because I had everyone handwrite everything. We had a great experience at Lister and going to Bulgogi House instead of Cafe Bicyclette, as was announced on the itinerary, just because of some unfortunate flooding. But overall, I think the team building was really great and the weekend was really great. And for the people who could come, I just wanted to reach out and thank them for making the effort to come, and for being there, and for making it such a great weekend. So that's just my little spiel on GovCamp Retreat, and thank you all for coming and making it an awesome weekend.
Okay, thank you, Courtney, for that recap and update. So before we move into substantive business for today, I will do attendance. Courtney, hi, Levi.
Sure. So since you brought up the attendance, I was going back over our standing orders, and section 19.2b notes that there shall be a suffix of P or T denoting when somebody has a proxy fill in for them or when they're dialing in by teleconference. But I don't see any, there's only one instance where there was a proxy for Councillor Risebig on our attendance sheet.
I believe in the most recent minutes, there was a second denotation of someone using a proxy from last meeting. That is, so Paulina had hers last meeting, and then Charvi is indicated as having a proxy for the first meeting. Is there a specific question that you want me to answer?
Well, I was like, we have how many counselors on the Zoom call? Does that not qualify as teleconferencing?
Courtney, can I redirect that to you?
Definitely. So before, when that was written for a teleconferencing, it was under the assumption that meetings were primarily in person and people could phone in. Because these meetings are hybrid, they're not necessarily counted as teleconferencing because it's counted just as general meeting attendance because it's incorporated fully into the meeting. So we're just not using the teleconferencing option just because like it is considered of equal weight because it is meant for both. That may change in the fall when we try to move everything to in-person. And then yes, we could add the teleconferencing option then. But as of right now, we're just officially marking proxies.
Yeah, so my understanding is that it had been a response to COVID and just kind of the change in technological adaptations that have been used at council. We're in a bit of a gray space right now with whether or not like our meetings are hybrid and like what expectations are surrounding that. I think I'd recommend that this discussion happen at CAC if you have more to say. Charvi?
Small question. What is the deadline to submit for your proxy?
So good question. It is required that you submit 24 hours prior to the meeting. You can submit closer to the meeting than that, but I need to be made aware of like some sort of extenuating circumstances. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, council, I don't really want to get in your private business. I just want communication. And so far, like I haven't really received any. I have denied a proxy for today, but that's because like we didn't even receive the proper form that has been sent to everyone. And this has been something that has been said at least at one meeting, and I know staff has reiterated it like a number of times. So I'm getting to a point where I'm going to start denying proxies if they're not properly submitted. But yeah, like if it's within 24 hours, just like reach out to me at the speaker email. And I'm more than happy to like be really understanding about it. Like I said, I don't want to get in your business, but just like communicate with me, right?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Was there anything else regarding speaker's business? Okay, and like I said, I'll be starting office hours soon, and always feel free to reach out if there's any questions. Moving to attendance, I think.
Mr. Speaker, you have a hand up in Zoom.
Thank you. I am adjusting to us not having Courtney here. Leo.
Yeah, can you put the speaker email in? Is it your personal email or was there a separate one? Because like I know I've emailed you with like a U Alberta email. So I'm just wondering which email is the speaker one?
Yeah, so Leo, I think the one you've emailed me at is the correct one. It's speaker@su.ualberta.ca. And Courtney has put it in the Zoom chats. You will all get an email from me in the coming week about office hours and maybe like a reiteration of attendance and proxy expectations again. So you will all kind of be made aware of it through that. Was there anything else regarding speaker's business? Okay, and I don't see anything in Zoom, so we will move to attendance now. Abner?
Present.
And since Courtney is not in the room, if you are in chambers, make sure you use your mic so she can hear you. Gerline?
Present.
Christian?
Present.
Joanie?
Present.
Alex?
Present.
Abdul?
Present.
Haroon?
I'm here.
Thank you. Rebecca?
Present.
Thank you. Jada?
Present.
Leo?
Present.
Jashan?
Present.
Milan?
Present.
Fate?
Present.
Levi?
Plaisant.
Peen?
Present.
Jaden?
Present.
Polina?
Present.
Chanpreet?
Present.
Medina?
Present.
Adrian?
Present.
Lionel? Lionel? I think I saw him in the Zoom call. Courtney, if you could just follow up through a message.
For sure.
Thanks. Ibuku?
I'm here.
Gabriella?
Present.
Thanks. Daniela? Okay, we received an email that she would not be present tonight. Charvi?
I'm here.
Simran? Thanks. Mobashir?
Present.
David?
Present.
Rana, I don't believe is here. Vedant? Vedant? And I am present, and Mark. Thank you. Julia? Oh, I'm sorry. Julia. And Courtney, I'll just make sure that you heard that. Julia is present at the meeting today.
I have got that noted.
Thank you. Okay, now that attendance is done, we will move on to substantive business. The first item of which is the consent agenda. And I received information prior to the meeting that there was an issue with one of the minutes. Abner, so I'm looking, Abner, would you like to remove those minutes from the consent agenda?
Yes.
So that they can be dealt with?
Yes, I would. And I already earlier today sent the amendment to Courtney just to correct some of the things that were mentioned in one of the statements I made.
So we had a conversation as staff about this prior to the meeting. And Abner, if you're okay with it, what I would suggest is that the minutes, that set of minutes, which is the last meeting, June 18th, will be removed from the agenda and then be placed in board and committee business. And then council can approve it as amended once we get to that spot. Is there any objection to that from council? Okay, seeing none, the votes and proceedings for, I apologize, June 14th, the June 14th meeting will be moved to the board and committee business section of the meeting and then can be approved as amended. Having dealt with that, are there any objections to the consent agenda as it stands? So that's just the minutes for the May 31st meeting of council, which were delayed. Okay, seeing none, the consent agenda is approved as it was changed to. The next item of business today is executive committee reports. Executive, is there a particular order that you would like to follow today? Okay. And you know, please go ahead, you'll have 2 minutes each.
Okay, bonsoir, Conseil. I just want to say again to all those who were at Gov Camp, had such a good time, and I'm so happy to see you guys all here online and in person for Students' Council. So as many of you know, I've been working with the Registrar Office to make sure that our academic calendar can be more inclusive. But good news, I've also been making sure that that work is done internally within the SU as well. And I'm really happy to be working with our marketing team to make sure that our SU handbooks this year will be interfaith inclusive. So that's been something that I've been working on with UASU staff on. This morning, I met with First People's House to talk about how we can improve better educational content pieces within residences. So the first part of it is making sure that we have more comprehensive training for residence assistants, as well as having an opening like ceremony conversation potentially with elders or members from First People's House with residents during base camp. The past 2 weeks also, I chaired my first like meetings that I like am chair of. So I chaired COFA, which is Councils of Faculty Associations, Members in Service Working Group. And some of the key main points that came across from all the different VPs were making sure that every group can host events this year, working on community building and wellness. So we're seeing how we can do that kind of work collaboratively together. I also chaired my first CORA meeting, Council of Residents Associations, and we're focusing on meal plans as well as living conditions. And I also co-chaired World Social Justice Day, which is under the Wellness Support Center. And we are working on making sure that we can see an intersection between mental health as well as social justice. And I've been meeting with Sam from the Sexual Assault Center, as well as Deb Erkis, who is our sexual violence response coordinator, on creating a sexual violence handbook version of the sexual violence policy to make sure that it's very student friendly as well as survivor friendly for use. And now that is my timer going off, so I will stop. The rest is in my written report. Thank you.
Thank you for setting a timer. That's a practice I'd encourage everyone to do. If not, I will be giving like the 20 second signal. Next executive, please.
Yeah, hello everyone. So it's very like to thank everybody as well who came to GovCamp this weekend. We had a lot of fun. I want to thank Nav and our governance team and staff for organizing this weekend for us. I got a chance to get to know a lot of you, and I'm excited to work with all of you in the future. Similar to Joanie, I also met with the Council Faculty Association's Finance and Administration Working Group, which is all the VPFs of the different FAs. We had our first meeting yesterday, and our lovely audit chair, Simran, gave a presentation on sort of how the audit process is going to look like for the rest of the year. We discussed our expectations as well with the working group, and I'm excited to work with my other counterparts for the rest of the year. I also mentioned in my report that we've been shortlisting a lot of our applicants for the sub-planning committee and art committee. The applications closed last Tuesday, and we received a lot of applicants who are all very suited for the roles, but we're having a little harder of a time to try to sort of pick the people to sit on the committee. But so we've just been getting everything started and organized for both of the committees. As I mentioned in my report as well, we're having union negotiations that are brought to today's agenda. We'll go further into it later. And lastly, I had a meeting with Taylor Good, who is the AFSJ president today, with Joanie, regarding UASU Cares and the role AUFSJ has in La Central in updating our wellness directory to fully include CSJ and the services that they provide. And I hope to continue to work with them on this project. Thanks.
Thank you, Julia. Next executive.
Hello, everyone. Similar to VP Foge and VP Veloso, I had a great time at GovCamp. It was great to see all of you in a less formal or professional setting. And I also hope that this past weekend and the activities that were facilitated to allow us to like bond and get to work with each other will allow us to work as a closer and more cohesive team. Some of the highlights of the past week or since our last meeting in council was I attended the cause board meeting. So there we had some discussions in regards to our priority settings, and then we approved our budget. So in regards to priority settings, we have the topics of increasing affordability, addressing gender and domestic violence, developing digital infrastructure, funding Indigenous centers and funding reconciliation, supporting campus mental health, and increasing work integrated learning opportunities. So if you have any feedback or interest in any of those topics, please feel free to direct message me or connect. And I'd love to hear that as President Montero and I bring that back to the cause board for suggestions. And then we also approved our budget. So I had talked about increasing our campaign budget so that we have enough resources in preparation of the upcoming election so that cause is well-funded to run a large provincial get out the vote campaign. And lastly, the biggest thing I'll highlight that was also in my report is that some of you may remember that I had the opportunity to speak before the standing House of Commons Standing Committee on Citizenship and Immigration. There they were studying the disparities in immigration study permit application rates for Francophone versus non-Francophone countries. As well, I got the opportunity to speak about some of the overall issues that international students face. And I'm glad to say that that committee came out with its report, which I will put in the council chat, and I will put it, Courtney will be able to send it out. But there were some great recommendations there, including eliminating the need for work permits for experiential learning opportunities, as well as addressing some other financial aid opportunities for international students. So I'm really, really thankful that they listened to us, and I look forward to seeing where the next steps of this document goes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next executive, please.
Hi, everyone. So me with other executives, we got a chance to meet the Graduate Students Association and also the Dean of Students Office to kind of share our priorities for the year and find the areas of collaboration with those groups. Then I had a couple of GFC committee meetings these past weeks. One of them is nominating committee, and we nominated many members to different GFC committees, and I had programs committee as well. And then I had a COFA advocacy working group meeting. It was our first meeting and a second meeting for the COFA senior board. So we approved the terms of reference, as I mentioned in my previous report, that we will be doing it. So we finally approved the terms of reference, and we have started having the conversation about the SRE summit, and we are planning it with the student group services. And also I have started having conversation to plan out some kind of SRE social. Then I have been meeting different faculty associations presidents. So far I have met ASA president and AUFST president, OASIS president, and I also met the ISU president yesterday. Other than that, I got an opportunity to attend the Indigenous Strategic Plan launching with other executives, which was a really, really lovely event. And last but not the least, GovCamp was a great experience, and I thank you all for bringing great energy and making it a really fun experience for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Gurley and Abner.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hi, everyone. It's so great to see you, even though it's only been a couple of days. I really enjoyed getting the time to spend with all of you over the last weekend at GovCamp. I want to thank you all for your commitment to all of the sessions that we had in improving as leaders, student leaders within governance. And I want to also extend my thank you to Courtney and Nav for all the hard work they put into planning GovCamp. A few things to cover in my report. I'll try to be brief. First, the Board of Governors met on June 17th, that was a couple of weeks ago, which was our final meeting of the governance cycle. A few items I'll highlight is the Indigenous Strategic Plan that was endorsed by the board, the revisions to the sexual violence and student conduct policies, and fall 2023 international tuition fee proposal, which did pass at the Board of Governors, despite myself, Governor Dorscheid, pushing against it, and also another member of the Board of Governors, which is the NASA rep. I will mention that some of the commitments that we were able to get from the university, from the provost office, but also from the Board of Governors, included working with the GSA along with the Students' Union to bring items around food insecurity and financial aid to the Board of Governors and mental health, to discuss how we move those issues forward, adjusting them at the board level and not just leaving them at the university level, which is extremely promising. And I'm looking forward to working with the GSA on that. And there was also mention around international students, particularly that's been mentioned to me, having difficulty with the process for applying for financial aid or not feeling comfortable doing it and going through the emergency form that some international students have expressed. So one of the members of the board also mentioned working to find a way to simplify that process for international students. There, some of you may remember last year, there was a lot of conversation and a teaching, learning, and evaluation policy suite passed at GFC. And the next step of that is developing questions that will be the new development of the USRI. And right now the university is looking for students to be a part of that process and helping develop those questions and critique them. So the last thing I'll say is I highly encourage anyone who wants to be involved in that process, making sure those questions are reflective of what we want to provide feedback for our instructors.
Okay, thank you, executives. The next item of business on our agenda is board and committee reports. I just want to note that I haven't been super consistent in order of the reports. So I've just pulled from the standing orders what it says, and I'll be going based on that from now on. So the first committee that the standing order says is audit committee. So Simran?
Yeah, so audit has met and we were just discussing the timeline. So we confirmed on deadlines for which we want all the SRAs and their VPFs to kind of commit to in regards to the auditing cycle for this year and kind of expectations within our committee. We'll also be assigning different individuals to different audits at our next meeting and kind of beginning that process. As Julia mentioned, I did present to COFA similar to last year, the first COFA meeting of the year. And we just went over like expectations, the timeline, the deadline that audit committee discussed, as well as like any concerns. And we briefly discussed the process of any FAMP renewals, as well as any SRAs that are looking to create a FAMP and how audit committee can support them. Yeah.
Thank you for your report. Next up is bylaw chair, Levi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have really nothing else to add to the written report other than parroting what everybody else before me had said, thanking everybody who both put together GovCamp and participated in GovCamp.
Thank you, Levi. And that information item, Levi's report, was the only item on the late ad. So if you're looking for that, that's where it can be found. The next is the CAC chair, Adrian.
Yeah, so CAC, as always, met about an hour ago. We had a few items on the agenda. We approved the invoice for the blanket exercise that was held about a month ago. We approved the terms of reference for the social media subcommittee, which we'll be nominating for in board and committee business today. We had a discussion on the council submission form, which hopefully you should all see at council in a couple months, probably, maybe a few weeks if we're quick on it. And that's about it. I have some meetings scheduled with the speaker and with the CRO in the upcoming week. But that's about it from CAC.
Also expect a form about cancel jacket preferences relatively soon. So hopefully everyone can contribute to that. And please, 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 if you're having food, fill in the food form. I will set myself a reminder to send a message to the WhatsApp group every time. But I am potentially even going to ask Courtney to give me the list of who filled out the form, because we are running out of food consistently because people aren't filling it out. So make sure you get that done in time. And yeah, I will try to be more on it with the reminders in the WhatsApp.
Thank you. And yeah, just a general reminder, if you want dinner, CAC has food. Just make sure you fill out the form. Ask Adrian or Courtney if you want to know where that is. Next is the executive committee, Abner.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The executive committee hasn't had too much business over the last little while. There haven't been a lot of items, but just discussing all the items that have been on our reports in different capacities, making sure we're prepared to go into those meetings and bring items to council.
Thank you. Next up is Finance Committee, and forgive me, Julia, thank you.
Hello, so we had our sort of second official meeting on Friday. We talked about a couple of things, such as increasing accessibility of our budget and what that can look like to make it easier for not only council to read, but also the general student body. We're also looking at for finance to receive yearly reports from core managers and sort of going forward to see, I'm going to try testing that out this year. And I'll also be giving a presentation at the next finance committee explaining our DFU and FAMP processes as well. But yeah, that's it from finance.
Thank you, Julia. A nominating committee, Haroon.
Yeah, awesome. First off, I want to echo the people's messages. GovCamp was quite fun. NomCom has had a little bit of a turbulent time. We were restructuring how we're doing the selection process for Senate and for a couple of the committees. So we're a little bit behind on that right now at the moment. For Senate, we're aiming to have something done by August, and for other committees, we're aiming for end of July. And that is about it. And once again, I'm really appreciative for our two new members, Daniela and Fateh, for joining us. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Next up is policy committee, which I believe is Christian.
Yes, sir. So committee members should be working on their grammatical edits for existing policies that aren't expiring this year. And we'll also be hopefully approving our committee action plan, which will be happening next meeting. And last but not least, we'll also be assigning the review of the review and renewal of policies set to expire this year to committee members. So any of the policies such as Augustana, sexual violence, tuition, all that will be assigned at this meeting. And from there, we'll kind of carry on with whatever the committee action plan is.
Thank you. And the next is the Undergraduate Board of Governors representative. Alex, do you have a report to give?
So in the past 2 weeks, as Abner kind of touched on quite a bit in his report as well, we had our Board of Governors meeting. It was definitely a very heavy meeting with a little over 700 pages total. We did get a lot of items accomplished at this meeting, some good, some not so good. As Abner said as well, we had the vote on the 6% increase to international tuition, which did pass with 4 dissenting votes, including myself, Abner, Andre, the NASA rep, and I believe Delaney as well. I might stand corrected there, but I believe it was her that did that. Abner and I's plan to stand up against this kind of included us tackling two different issues that we had a lot to say about. Moving on from that, there is a new sexual violence policy that's being created at the request of the Minister of Advanced Education. This item was brought up at the board where the SVRC person was looking for feedback on how to consult as many stakeholders in a very short time frame. I discussed this issue with VPSL Foge, and we've decided that we will collectively invite the SVRC person to council in the near future to conduct student consultation through our students' council. So when that does happen, I'm going to invite counselors to be looking for that in the order paper and be prepared for that meeting. So you will definitely get a heads up when that happens. So hopefully we can get her out to a council meeting for that. The board also approved the hiring of Dr. Verna Yu. As I'm sure many of you know, she used to be the former CEO of AHS before she was terminated. So she is now going to be the interim provost and vice president academic for the next 2 years. And this passed unanimously. And all the board members and I think everyone here in Students' Council will be looking forward to working with her in the future. I also had the chance to meet with the former president of the NWP Students Association here in Grand Prairie. And we had a great discussion about how to be an effective board member and how he improved the lives of students at NWP. Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Next up is what standing orders classifies as other board and committee reports. Has ARC met yet? No, okay. Have any of the other sustainability and capital funds, student group committee, sustainability, translation? No, okay. That brings us to the end of board and committee reports. So we will now move into open forum. I believe we have a guest in person and potentially in Zoom. Are there any, and we haven't received any written questions, so are there any oral questions that guests would like to provide or pose to council? Okay. And again, it's 2 minutes for a comment, 30 seconds for a question. Please state your name and the organization you're affiliated with.
My name is Jin. I'm the production editor at The Gateway. These questions are for President Montero. At the BOG meeting, Provost Stephen Du said that during the consultation at TBAC with the UASU on the international students' 6% tuition increase, quote, the students at the time indicated no clear need to further consult, unquote. Could you elaborate on that?
Okay. I sense like a string of questions here, so I am just going to kind of moderate it a bit. So Abner, please go ahead.
Yeah, so the International Student Association, as well as the Students Union, did meet with Steve to make sure that we got our point across of what everything, all of our asks and what they were. We got to a point where Provost Du, going through the consultation process and where this item was going to go, the university indicated to us that they were not going to make any changes to the proposal, in us making our case, them making their case. So the university felt that the item was ready to move forward, albeit we also stated to them that we weren't ready for this item to go forward because we wanted to ensure that our asks were met during this proposal.
Okay, thank you. Is there another question? Please go ahead.
Then we'll turn back time. In previous President Lay's final council report, he mentions that previous VP Kamani and he were at the first consultation meeting of TBAC. Kamani did not mention TBAC in her report and Lay did not mention further consultation in his. What were the plans for consultation at the time?
Is this also directed to Abner? Abner?
Yeah, so as the provost mentioned before, they utilized TBAC as the consultation mechanism forced with students, with the students union to get our feedback. At that point, the meeting that both Rowan and VP Kamani got the chance to see the proposal was on April 19th, right during the end of their terms during the period of transition. So they did, similar to what we did, share all of their points and what they wanted to get across and what they wanted to see in this proposal. And from that point onwards, there was no mention of this proposal until it got to the point of coming onto the APC agenda. So there was a slight miscommunication because of the fact that everything was happening during executive transition and final exams. But a lot of these points were shared previously as well, and they weren't incorporated into the proposal as well.
Okay, thank you. Do you have another question? Please go ahead.
Before I ask, this is my last question, right?
Correct. You have 3 oral questions per meeting.
Perfect. So just based on that response, continuity of knowledge within the UASU has been a recurring issue in the past with this particularly highlighting that. So what is the UASU planning to do to make sure that this doesn't happen again, especially because international tuition tends to be around that time. And technically administration's job isn't really to work around that term ending schedule?
Abner?
Yeah, so in my conversations with the provost, he did indicate to me as well that the university does have a responsibility to making sure that they aren't doing this transition and doing this consultation during periods of transition, and they were well aware of that. I've conveyed that to the provost that we have to make sure we're doing this earlier on. They've committed as well to making sure this doesn't happen again because they have to make sure that we are consulting with the group adequately before we get to the point of transition.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments from guests at council today? Are you wanting to like answer a question or pose? It would be question period for you, Mark. We don't treat you as a guest. You are a member. Are there any other comments or questions from guests today? Okay, please keep the chatter down to a minimum. Seeing no further comments or questions from guests, we will move into question period. So same format, members are allowed to ask questions or post comments. I see Mark, Milan, Haroon, Simran. Okay, and Abner?
I have a question for our general manager.
Oh, it sounds like Mark will just comment, right. And he is first on the speakers list. Just a reminder, please indicate whether or not, or whether you're asking a question or making a comment prior to what it is you're going to do. Mark, please go ahead.
So I'm giving a comment because we brought something forward, an SCF request a little while ago, and it was made clear to me that, look, you got to go through SCFC first, and I agree. That being said, I'm coming here because SCFC will not be formulated until August, and we, as part of the sub-planning process, have identified 2 projects, one for next summer, one for the summer, a larger one for the summer after, that if we're going to hit those summer construction periods, we're going to need to begin planning earlier. So I'm advising council that it is currently my intent, if councilors want to approach me afterwards or in this meeting and say, don't you dare, we'll kill you, that would be metaphorically. That would be good, but I wanted to advise council on that. To that end, if we do that, I will also be presenting kind of the work that the committee and the designers have done on the submaster plan to provide it all in context. It's primarily just a timing thing. When you're doing big renovations, you need to do conceptual and design development, and then you need to get construction documents, and then you need to go to tender. And that takes a year on a mid-sized project. And for a bigger project like the food court, it's going to take us about 18 months. So we want to make sure that we can hit those timelines. So I'm just advising council. I will likely be forwarding something through the exec. However, if there's a lot of resistance to that, I'm willing to have a conversation. So that's all. Thank you.
Okay. And just a reminder, Mark, if you're staying, that as a member of council, questions can also be posed to Mark in a public space. And I think Mark has made himself available after council or at a separate time as well. I just wanted to check in. Courtney, are you able to see when people raise their placards in chamber, or do you want me to kind of signal people wanting to be added to the speakers list?
I would prefer if you could signal people onto the speakers list. I can see when placards are raised, but it's hard for me to tell who is raising them.
Okay, good to know. So with Courtney gone, I'm wearing a few different hats today. So when you are wanting to speak or be added to the speakers list, please raise your placard and keep it up until I recognize you, because I might not see you right away. That being said, Milan is next on the speakers list. Are you asking a question or making a comment?
This is a question, Mr. Speaker. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. My first question is to BPSL Johnny Vogue. As you might know, on Friday, the Supreme Court of the United States overturned over 50 years of protection on the right to choose with the strike down of Roe v. Wade. Students are looking at their counterparts across the border, worried that they'll face stigma for seeking abortion care, especially those who have been victims of sexual violence, including rape and incidents on campus. How do you plan on, number one, supporting UL Alberta students who are from the United States affected by the ruling? Number two, ensuring minimal stigma as possible on campus for those who have sought abortion care or suffered a sexual assault, rape, or incest?
Thank you for your question. I do want to mention that this is a political issue. So as a nonpartisan organization, we cannot dabble into that. But I will continue my duties and responsibilities as VPSL to make sure that we make sure that the university is committing to their prevention and responsive practices in regards to sexual violence for supporting survivors.
Thank you, Joanie. Next on the speakers list is Haroon.
Yeah, sorry. This is a comment. I have something different today, but Joanie, what I will say is that I don't think abortion, Roe v. Wade is a political issue. I think Roe v. Wade, that was a Supreme Court thing. It was never policy. So I do think it's important for us to clarify there that that's a right to have bodily function, a bodily autonomy. But yeah, sorry, my actual comment was about the board of governors meeting. Once again, it's not Albert's fault, it's not Alexander's fault. It's just the reality of what happened in that situation was that there was a loss of continuity of information, which happens. But the reality here is that I think, and Abjad put this perfectly at GovCamp, is that administrators know exactly when these type of things are happening. So how do we actually plan around this? Because it's hard, you know what I mean? And we need to find a way to actually be able to mobilize students, because we were successfully able to in 2017, 2016, when Lister had their meal plan come up. How do we actually do that for these types of situations? How do we actually motivate students to come out at 8 in the morning to do something? Because if we can't do that as an organization, then we've kind of somewhat failed our mandate to actually advocate for students. So and once again, I pose this to any exec if they want to answer it. How do we get people to actually actively get involved in the SU? Because people don't want to be involved, but how do we make the SU more comfortable, more accessible to people? How do we make it more accessible to the common student to come to our meetings? Because as once again, I'm not saying we have to fill up the room, but as you can see, we have a lot of, besides our lovely Gateway volunteer, we'll have no one. So, so I'm just wondering, how do we actually get people involved? If anyone wants to answer that.
Members are allowed either a comment or a question. They cannot be both. Yeah, so like I'm not going to give it over to someone to answer it. If someone wishes to, in either another answer to a question or in like their own comment, they're more than welcome, but I can't direct it to someone. Next on the speakers list is Simran.
Okay, so I have a question. My question is for nominating committee chair, which I believe is Haroon or Councillor Ali. So from what I heard from your report, the selection to the committees such as like SCFC, SGC, and ARC will occur at the end of July. I was just wondering why this is the projected timeline, given that these committees that have such important mandates can't begin these mandates until the student larges have been selected.
Yeah, awesome. Once again, I was handed what's called we as an OMCOM, we unfortunately as a council, we set up committees a little bit late. The Senate candidates should have been, from once again, this is my own opinion, should have been selected at the last count, should have been selected by the last NOMCOM the committee, but it wasn't. So that's kind of thrown our things out of sorts. The reason why I had the timeline for end of July is because at the moment right now, we're just trying to select candidates to make sure that we can actually have people that are actively engaged. But once again, too, you know what I mean? Timelines, we only got set up as a committee, I believe, in early June. So I'm sure my other NOMCOM people can confirm, but I think we had our actual second meeting where we actually got to business in June. Once again, we tried pushing for a harder deadline, but unfortunately we weren't able to do that because once again, we had some leftover work from the last NOMCOM committee. So that is why.
Thank you, Haroon. Just a few reminders, answers do also get 2 minutes, and oral questions or comments are limited to 3 per person. Just want to make sure everyone's aware. Next on the speakers list is Chan Preet.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Montero, and it is again touching back on international tuition. So the main issue that we have with the international tuition consultation, apart from the timelines, is even the consultation and with whom the consultation is happening. For example, this year we had a scenario, and same even happened in the past years, that for international students tuition, not even a single international student is ever consulted. Because the individuals who sit in TBAC was our student union president and student union VP operations and finance, which depend on year to year, they can be international or they cannot be international. So even next year, we are again going to have a tuition fee proposal, and we are again going to have a situation where—
Sorry, Chan Preet, sorry to cut you off. Questions are limited to 30 seconds. I appreciate that you're trying to give background, but if you could please move into the actual question as your 30 seconds has run out.
Sure, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I totally forgot that. So the actual question is, according to tuition regulation, the university is supposed to consult with the Students' Council. So now since TBAC have student representation issues, so what is our plan as the Students' Union to address the consultation issues that we have within the current framework?
Thank you. And was that directed to a particular, to Abner?
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for bringing up Chan Preet. One of the items that I've also included in my report speaks to the provost's commitment and the university's commitment to reviewing the consultation process and improving it. That was one of the key things that the International Student Association president mentioned to me that we were able to receive from the university. TBAC is one part, I think, of a more robust consultation process, ensuring that we can hear the voices of everyone who will be affected by these proposals. So we will be working with the university, as well the GSA, to ensure that we can consult with everyone who is going to be affected by these proposals before they come to this point, and also ensuring that consultation is done earlier in the process, so it's not left to the end of the governance cycle.
Thank you. Moving down the speakers list, I see that Lionel is next. And again, please indicate whether you are asking a question or making a comment. Lionel, are you there? I believe we didn't hear you answer the attendance. I just want to confirm that your microphone's working. If you could just put something in the chat, maybe just so I know that you were hearing me at least. Okay. What I'm going to do, Lionel, is just bump you down the speakers list. When you think you're ready, could you just indicate so in the chat, and we can come back to you. So moving further down the list, we come back to, I'm actually going to say, let's go to Abdul, just because Chanpreet had just spoken. Abdul?
Hi, can you hear me?
Is this Abdul or Lionel?
Abdul.
Abdul, yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. So I had a question from VP Foggy, if I remember correctly. So she said about like the wellness directory about Campus and John. I believe that's true. Anita said that. So what's about the Augustana? Is there like any progress to include the wellness directory? I'm trying to figure out whether it was Julia or Giovanni. Sorry if I messed up.
Julia?
Yeah, I can answer this question. It was me who sort of mentioned the UASU Cares with my report. I'm actually still in the midst. Like, I know Abdul, I've been trying to meet with Saim for a while now. I wanted to sort of have these conversations with him first. I've just gotten the chance to meet with AFSG sooner just because our schedules have aligned better. But I do have further plans to sort of include both Augustana and CSJ in terms of updating UASU Cares.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. And sorry for the confusion. I wasn't sure who said that.
Thank you for the question and the answer. Okay, we will now move back to Chanpreet.
Sure. A few of the GFC student members have reached out and expressed that they really don't fully understand what happens in the GFC, don't understand the agenda and the items being discussed. We have a really good transition process for the council, GovCamp, and many other resources. Is there any plan to have few dedicated resources for just the GFC members who are just in GFC, not part of the Students' Council, so they are better prepared to advocate for their constituents at the GFC? And I guess the question could be for VPA, I guess.
Sorry, could you please say again who the question was directed to?
VPA Gurleen.
VPA Gurleen.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Chanpreet. So me and Abner and Joini, we met Kate Peters and Heather. So they were also talking about having an orientation. So when we'll be having our next GFC Student Caucus, and we're planning to invite them and have an orientation there. So like it will be also a chance for the students to ask any questions to them. And I believe this will serve the purpose and help students understand it better. Like what happens at the GFC. Thank you.
Thank you, Gurleen. Next on the speakers list is Milan.
Give me one sec, got to start a stopwatch. It's a good idea. Thank you, Julia. All right, my next question is to VP Academic Gurleen Carr. As you might know, Students Union Bylaw AE100 clearly defines departmental associations as SRAs, but as they tend to a smaller group of students, however, and as there continues to be a campus problem of a lack of student participation in governance issues, many people in departments and DAs continue to feel the effects of isolation. As you begin planning for the SRA summits, how do you plan to ensure there is a space in which DAs can participate in collaboration on student issues and a framework becomes established in these summits for stronger relationships between faculty associations and the departmental associations they represent?
Okay, thank you for the question. If we could all just hold that in our minds for a moment. I've just realized that we are almost out of the 15 minutes that is allotted for question periods. And I'm just confirming what is required for the first extension. And it just requires the request of 5 voting members. So are there any members requesting that? Okay, I see 5 at least. So we will extend for another 15 minutes. And Julia, sorry, just one moment. I just need to reset my timer. Okay, please go ahead.
Yeah, so Milan, I will take this question just because it's related to the SRA Summit, and that's essentially one of my projects that I'll be planning this year. Regarding departmental associations, I think they play a very crucial role within our governance structure in ensuring that students get proper representation and we can identify the key issues that they're facing. As far as the SRA summit is concerned, one of the key things that I try to accomplish with planning the summit, and we are as a group, is to ensure that there is enough time to do active engagement and practice certain skills requires a certain size of a group. So the first thing that we're going to be doing is, one, working with faculty associations and the SRAs that have direct delegated authority with the Students' Union that are members of COFA right now and CORA, to work with them to make sure, one, they have necessary skills that they need, but also two, and this is a conversation that I've had with Councillor Brooks as well, working with departmental associations, seeing how faculty associations can best support the departmental associations, but also how we can build those connections between the Students' Union and departmental associations. And part of that work is identifying what particular issues those DAs are facing and what they need so that the Students' Union can help support them as well.
Okay, thank you for that answer. Lionel will just be typing his question in the chat. So Lionel, just go ahead and type it. I'm going to go to the next person on the speakers list, but as soon as I see it in the chat, you'll be next on the speakers list. So while we wait for that, Haroon.
Yeah, awesome. Sorry, I'm just gonna make another statement again. Sorry, this is just in response to what Simran said. So I went back and looked at the nominating committee minutes from last year. Nominating committee was set up last year on May 5th, 2021. Nominating committee this year was set up on May 31st, 2021. Our first actual official business meeting was on, yes, our first actual meeting was on June 8th, where we set a good agenda to actually get something done there. But unfortunately, we are acting a month behind APNR's team. So we obviously were not going to be able to do something if we weren't set up. So more or less now, we are in a good position now to get some things done by the next meeting. Hopefully, we can get some interviews set up and scheduled. I'll be adding this to the Student Digest before our next meeting on the 13th of July. And hopefully we can get some interviews set up and we can get back some names back to the committees. And we can get those committees up and running. But yeah, unfortunately this year, it's just due to timing, which has been hard on this year. So hopefully we can take this as a good lesson, and I'll be definitely writing this in my non-comm jurisdiction to hopefully get this committee set up earlier, because I do agree with you, Simran, that the committee does a lot of important work. So it's important to get it set up as soon as possible. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for that comment. I see that Lionel has put his question in the chat. I'm just going to read it out for the benefit of anyone who might not be on Zoom, and also just for the oral record. I just want to confirm with our clerk that the question is from Lionel Liu. And the question is directed at President Montero, and that it is, what does the SU plan to do to continue opposing the 6% increase in international students' tuition, though it had been passed? What more could we do on this?
Thank you for the question, Lionel. So as it currently stands, other than preparing for the next proposal, there's not much that we can do directly to oppose this proposal because it's been passed. But what myself, Governor Dorscheid, the GSA President Anas, are doing is actively addressing a lot of the key issues that were identified through this proposal. Three of them being, one, consultation, which we are going to be working on through this process to make sure we don't have the same type of process again. Two, food insecurity, it being one of the key identifiers for international students, particularly being twice as high as domestic students, and even higher for graduate students, and seeing how we can work to next time address that within the proposal itself, because it's not very holistic in its approach. Mental health supports and social supports for international students as well, but I think it goes broader to just the general student body and how we can best support students and make sure that they have all the resources they need to be successful with long wait times and those sort of things, and also financial aid. And this is one conversation right now. The university has their own calculation for how they determine the amount of financial need that goes towards these proposals and how much is taken away to support international students. We're asking for them to reevaluate that number as well, as the provost has committed to saying that if there is financial need, more money will be allocated to support international students. So it just comes down to getting that information and making sure it's done.
Hey, thank you for the question and answer. Next on the speakers list is Levi.
So I've got a comment. I'm The fact that we started our terms late and we didn't get our committees going until late sucks. I was probably one of the first people to complain about that. Going through previous years, we did start early. We've had our meeting zero in April. We had our first meeting early in May. Our committees got going early. But the fact that we started late just means we have to work twice as fast and work twice as hard to get caught up. If these committees and boards that we were appointing to were just within the SU, fine, it is what it is. But when we're appointing to university boards like the Senate, that reflects poorly on us as an organization, and it only fuels fire to the argument that the university doesn't take us seriously. And when we're doing this, things like this, they're absolutely right. And not only, and probably more importantly, we have three empty seats on the Senate. We're depriving students representation on that body as honorary or as it might be. But this is unacceptable that we're waiting this long. And whatever the circumstances that arose that we started late, or whatever the circumstances, the inner turmoil that the committee is happening, this needs to get done, and it needs to get done now.
Okay, thank you, Levi. Fateh.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a quick question. President Montero mentioned that we're working on the SRA summit. Could we get more, written details about that? Something like a PDF document or anything. And if there is, could you point me where I can find that?
Abner, just one moment. I just wanted to confirm Milan and Levi. Those were the hands that I saw from this side. Okay, please go ahead.
Yeah, Fateh. So I'm happy to provide you with, just let me know what information you're looking for specifically. Right now, I mean, last year, what we did is we planned the event internally for the SRAs. Students Council didn't play a huge role in planning the event itself, as we're Students Council, and there's no members of SRAs, or there aren't any SRA representatives directly here on Council. So I'm happy to provide some more information. Just let me know what you're looking for specifically. We have just developed the terms of reference for an advisory committee that we're hoping to strike. That's going to involve SRA presidents, it's going to involve CORA presidents, and it's going to involve three executives, myself, VP CORA, and also VP Foge, to make sure that we have a very robust process in establishing this next SRA summit. As last year, we didn't include residents associations, but we will be including them this year.
Thank you. Moving down the speakers list, Christian.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is just in response to Levi's statement. I understand your frustration, and I agree with you that we should be working double time, especially when we're behind. I do just want to, I guess, sort of calm a bit of concerns. I did talk with Tyrell in the Senate about our recruitment process, and he is comfortable with it as long as we have senators by September 15th, which is when the Senate orientation occurs. So we do have time. And in the grand scope of things, we also didn't really start nominating Senate members till late June. So while we are still behind, we are working fast to get those seats there. I also think the important thing to remind ourselves is that we do want to strive for quality and not just quantity. You want to strike that balance. So part of us wanting to extend this process is that we didn't get a lot of applications, and that was in part due to lack of promotion and lack of, I guess, communication of the role, which I, you know, the committee can take responsibility for. So we do take responsibility there. But yeah, we are working to make sure that lots of students know about that role and lots of students are able to apply. So it's not just, again, a position that's kept insular to governance students, but it's also exposed to the rest of the student body.
Thank you for the comment. Moving down the speakers list, we have a, I believe it's a question, yeah, from Jashan, and it's directed to Abner. So again, I'm just going to read it aloud so it's recorded on our audio record of the meeting. So Jashan Mahal is asking, Abner, international students are disproportionately affected by tuition decisions. This proposal and how the consultation went has left us feeling powerless and like we do not have a say in tuition decisions. Why can we not have an international student representative sit on the tuition advisory committee so we are not blindsided when there is another increase in the future? And Abner, this was directed to you.
Sure. Thank you for the question, Jashan. In my conversations with numerous people, including President Deer, I mentioned to him the intent and also the need to not just have one form of consultation being through TBAC. The provost has stated multiple times he sees the students' union as being the primary and the GSA as being the primary representative of all students, including international students. I can, to a certain extent, understand where he's coming from, but I also want to ensure that international students get the opportunity to make sure they're at the table. I think the fact that we only have one form of consultation in TBAC is extremely problematic in this process because it means there's only one avenue to do consultation. And I want to ensure that we create multiple avenues because it also gives us more opportunities to get our point across with different groups that are affected in different ways to get changes to this proposal. I think having one avenue, like such as TBAC, to have everyone share their concerns in one place makes it much harder for us to be able to spread out those concerns over time and make sure the university can address them. That being said, I'm definitely open to conversations with the ISA to see how we can best make sure that international students have their voice heard in this process and can have their feedback incorporated into these proposals.
Okay, thank you for that answer. We are once again running short on time. So I will be looking for an extension if we wish to continue, and I'm just confirming the process. So this requires a two-thirds majority vote of council. So I'll be looking for objections. However, I think I'd look for a formal motion for this one. So are there any movers? I see Ali moving to extend question period by 15 minutes. And Milan, is that a second?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Clerk, did you catch that? Okay, cool. Are there any objections to the vote to extend by 15 minutes? And just a reminder in the Zoom call, I'll be looking for like a raise of hands using the chat function. Okay, I see three objections. Thank you. Courtney, could you tally for me how many people we have in the Zoom call, how many voting members we have in the Zoom call, and I'll do that for in person.
For sure, just give me a minute.
Did you have a question, Ibuku?
If we're going to extend, can we just have the speakers list end where it is then, as opposed to continually extending?
It would require, a lot of the people on the speakers list have asked three questions or three comments. So we're going to a point where people can't like ask anymore. I'm just trying to think of like how to word a motion that would limit it to the end of the current speakers list. We'd have to change the motion.
Could I accept that as a friendly amendment?
I don't want, like, if the purpose is to extend so there can be more debate, I don't want to limit it too much. Like, Haroon, are you open to that amendment to your motion? Okay. Milan, are you open to continuing to second that?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'll accept that as a friendly amendment to extend discussion to the end of the current speakers list. Clerk, do you have that? Okay. Sorry, I apologize. We actually voted on that motion already. So it is the 15 minutes. So it would just be that standing. If that fails, we can do another motion to that effect. We're sticking with 15 minute extension. Sorry for the confusion. Courtney, have you tallied the voting members in the Zoom call?
I have. We have 13 voting members on the Zoom call.
Okay, and we have 14 voting members in person. So that brings us to 24, and that we meet the two-thirds threshold. So we will extend for 15 minutes. I'm just pulling my timer back up. One moment. Okay, so the timer has been restarted. We have 15 minutes. And council, again, like if you don't want to go beyond the current speakers list, I would encourage you to limit yourselves in speaking. So moving down, I see Rebecca is next on the speakers list. Please indicate whether you're making a comment or a question.
Yeah, can I go after the next person in the speaking list? I need to leave one more time. Thank you.
Sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, I wanted to go after the next person in the speaking list only.
Sure. So that would bring us to Simran. Levi, are you asking to be taken off of the speakers list? Okay, thank you. And also Christian Fotang is being asked to be taken off. So that brings us to Simran.
Okay, I'll make this question super quickly, but it's for VP Core. So my question's in regards to FAMPS this year. So when I was doing the presentation for COFA the other day, I realized that we have approximately 8 SRAs that are going to be running FAMPS or renewing FAMPS this year. And I was just wondering if they've been made aware yet or if communications have been made, and if not, like when that will occur.
Thanks for the question, Simran. Till now, we didn't have any conversation regarding that, but thanks a lot for bringing that to my mind. I'll put it on the next agenda for sure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Rebecca, are you ready?
Yes. So it's a question. And what are the plans for the SU in particular to address the tuition model for international students now that it has increased? And regarding that, in the last board meeting, the motion only allowed discussion for the increase in tuition, but not the model. Now that the guaranteed tuition model makes tuition fixed to pay number of classes, even if you're not taking all, are there any plans to maybe take that back to help with increasing tuition and the reduced financial aid opportunities?
Was that question directed to someone in particular, Rebecca?
Not really, like whomever can answer that, I guess.
Is any of the exec wanting to?
So I think I heard some of the question, Mr. Speaker. I might get Rebecca to repeat the question if it's possible. It was a little bit quiet for me to hear, but it does seem like it's within the purview of the Board of Governors. So if she can repeat the question, I'm happy to answer.
Sure. Rebecca, before you do that, I just want to reiterate, if you can't hear at any point, please make a point of parliamentary inquiry. It just saves us having to do like the back and forth. So Rebecca, if you could please repeat the question and if you could speak a little louder, please. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So at the last board meeting, the motion only allowed to discuss the increased international tuition, but not quite the model. The model of guaranteed tuition model for international students admitted on or after fall 2020. And now the tuition has increased. Fixing to that model, if you don't have to take all the 5 classes, is really a big problem. What are the plans of the SU to change that probably in the future, the guaranteed tuition model, now that tuition has already increased?
Sorry, Rebecca, were you finished?
Yes.
Okay, Adner.
Yeah, Rebecca, so your question is related to the model itself, not necessarily the increase. There is definitely capacity for us to bring this item and discuss it with the Board of Governors. Specifically, I think what this really works around is identifying what a lot of the key issues are with the current tuition model and being able to bring that and make a case to the Board of Governors as to why this current model is problematic and why we need to look at reevaluating it and creating a better model. So that's some work that can be done in the back end of the Students' Union. Also, I'm happy to chat with the International Student Association to help identify what some of these key areas are so that we can make a case and bring it forward.
Thank you for the answer. Next on the speakers list, I see Haroon.
Yeah, awesome. Sorry, I just wanted to answer Levi's concern he raised, because it's a very valid concern that he raised that we do need to be able to make sure that we fill in. So I just wanted to once again reiterate the timeline I told this committee 2 weeks ago. We had our first NOMCOM meeting on actual business meeting on June 8th, where we set a timeline to select for committees with the goal of getting Senate done in a week. Once again, as Christian said, we did technically get enough candidates. We could just do it by acclamation, really. But at the same time, too, we want to make sure there are allowing opportunities for new people to get involved. So as a committee, we decided to extend this for another 2 weeks and to keep applications opening on a rolling basis afterwards while we complete interviews to make sure more students can be involved. I'm also setting the job posting to I'm sending it to the Black Students Association, Indigenous Students Union. I even believe to Daniela, the president of the Latina Students Association, also is going to send out a newsletter too. So I'll be sending, we're trying to just recruit more people. The goal is to get more people outside of the governance bulb to actually get involved. And once again, is it going to take longer? Yes. But at the current moment, students are we still technically actually have senators until July 1st. And there's no business happening to the Senate until September. So currently right now, there's no business. So once again, we just want to make sure that we're getting quality candidates however we can. And I should have an update for Senate by the end of hopefully end of July, and we can get someone up there. And for other committees as well, we're aiming for end of July as well. And if you have more questions, feel free to reach me out. And I'm at the end of my speaking terms. Thank you,
Haroon. Next on the speakers list is Leo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a question to President Montero. So recently, the university execs have released the capital plan, which was discussed in, I believe, in the previous two UGFC meetings. So I just want to ask, since the Humanities Center, the executives gave 3 choices for what to do with the Humanities Center, which is to lease, to shut down for a period of time, or to completely take down. So I just want to know, what's the USU's current plan on advocacy when it comes to this issue? Thank you.
Abner?
Yeah, and Leo, I completely understand a lot of the value Humanities has to our current student population, the sentimental value it has to students who are taking classes in those buildings, who are in the Faculty of Arts. We want to ensure that those students aren't just misplaced and they have a space to be able to take their classes, have a community. Part of this is also within the purview of Students' Council and what they want the executive to do. And I'm happy to hear that feedback and what you see as the role of Humanities and what you would like to see from the executive. But our goal is to ensure that those students are not misplaced, that they have a faculty, that they have someone to take their classes that meet the needs of those students, the pedagogical needs, so that this university can continue to offer the highest quality to all of their students.
Okay, thank you. And Lionel has submitted another written question. Okay, and this question from Lionel is directed to VPSL Foge. So could you elaborate more on the discussion items that you went through during the meeting with campus and community recreation? I work with CCR as well, and also are looking at collaborations between CCR and SU to promote well-being among students. Merci beaucoup.
Merci. So basically, I also had this meeting with President Montero, and we're just looking at areas of gaps of knowledge of what are actually the services that CCR provide on campus for students. So seeing how we can actually make sure that students are aware of these, as well as seeing how we can make sure that it can be more inclusive towards students at Campus Saint-Jean. So we have connected Cheryl, who's like kind of the head of CCR, with the recreational leaders at Campus Saint-Jean, as well as the student addiction awareness campaign. That was one of President Montero's platform points, and seeing how we could potentially implement that within residents. I can leave the rest of my speaking turn to Abner.
Yeah, and Lionel, I can also say that another big portion of this is promotion of a lot of the great stuff that CCR is doing and how we can integrate it with what we currently do for our promotion through perks, through other areas for CCR, so that they can get more students engaged in the campus community, being a part of a lot of the events that they host, and can also benefit from it and get some of the prizes and stuff that CCR may be wanting to put out there.
Okay, thank you. Moving down the speakers list, last we have Milan.
All right, so my next question is to the, I believe the vice president academic is the one responsible for answering it, so I'll go ahead. As campus both goes back in full in-person learning this year, there are many who are experiencing in-person learning for the very first time. The survey in the quality of education in the last 2 years conducted in February indicated many students felt unsatisfied with their quality of learning online, including 65% response in nursing reporting poor internet connection, 51% of science students reporting teachers not even making an effort to teach, and 44% of students in KSR complaining about the overreach of privacy or proctoring. So as SRA Summit is being planned, we go back to full in-person learning this year. How do you plan working with the student body, SRAs, and with admin to rebuild trust?
Sorry, Milan, I hear a point of privilege. Yeah. Yeah, sure. And I really appreciate, we've had a few questions with like a lot of context provided, which is really great. Unfortunately, we do limit to 30 seconds, but I would like to encourage members to submit written questions as well. This will allow me to provide like more context to them. But Milan, if you could please just repeat your question.
Yeah, so for sure. So as I stated, 65% of response in the faculty and nursing report poor internet connection, 51% of science students reported teachers not making an effort to teach at all, and 44% of students in KSR complained about the overreach of privacy of proctoring, and this was online over the last 2 years, according to the survey taken in February. So as the SRA Summit is being planned, and as we go back to full in-person learning this year for the first time in nearly 3 years, how do you plan working with the student body, SRAs, and with administration to rebuild trust between students, their professors, and university when it comes to the quality of education they are receiving in person that they failed to receive online?
Milan, I'll speak to the SRA Summit part and I'll defer the rest of the time to VP Core to answer the rest. I'll say as far as the SRA Summit is concerned, what we plan to do this year is to send out a form just like we did last year to all the SRAs identifying what they think the key concerns around campus are and what they'd like to see addressed at the summit. And from that, we're going to whittle that list down to what they want to do and what they want to address in that meeting. So that's the goal for the SRA Summit, but I'll pass the rest of the time to VP Core.
And you do have a minute 35, just so you know.
Yeah, and as I mentioned in my report, I have been meeting the FA presidents. So like most of them have been mentioning the problem with the hybrid learning, and they really want us to push towards hybrid learning and still have the online component. So I have been having this conversation with the provost's office, like how we can improve that and like take it forward to meet the needs of students.
Okay. Thank you. Abner, did you have...
How much time is left?
I accidentally reset the timer, but I think it was at about 5 minutes. Sorry. That one isn't reset. 50 seconds.
50 seconds? Okay. I'll add one more point, and it was one of the commitments that I made within my platform when I ran Milan, which is around providing hybrid learning options for students. And it's one conversation I've been having with the university, with the provost office, the vice provost learning initiatives, on how we can utilize the technology that we currently have in our classrooms to make the classroom an accessible place for students who may not feel comfortable coming back, who may be sick, who may be having to parent and can't be in the classroom right away. And making sure that we have the supports available to instructors so that they can be able to offer a hybrid option to their students, while also making sure that they can offer an in-person component to students depending on what they would need.
Okay, thank you for that response. That brings us to the end of the speakers list and the end of question period. Thank you everyone for the fulsome discussion today. But we will now move on to our next item of business, which is board and committee business. So in reviewing the motions that were submitted today, I just want to ask the movers to clarify, and I think I'll do both right now just so we can get it over with. So for the first motion, I just want to clarify with Julia, what is it that council is doing? Are we ratifying? Are we recommending the ratification? What exactly is council's role in this motion?
I didn't defer my time to Mark if he has his hand up.
Mark, please.
You're ratifying it. So when we do these negotiations, both parties have to have their decision-making bodies confirm the decisions of the bargaining committees, and that's what this is. So this is a vote for ratification.
Okay, thank you. So Julia, as the mover, would you be open to just adjusting the wording slightly to take out... recommend the
point of order
and just leave it up. Yeah.
How can we ratify an agreement when we don't have the full text of the agreement?
I'm not. Have you been made? Have we made it available? Did you give them a link?
I think we just have the updates from the last.
It's a publicly. These are changes to the existing collective agreement, as I understand it. A link was sent out about that. Julia,
so before we continue on this discussion can happen within the debate on the actual motion. And if council believes that there's insufficient information to move forward, it can be tabled. But just for right now, I want to clarify the actual wording of the motion. So Julia, are you okay removing the words recommend the and changing it to moves to ratify changes?
Yeah, because it came from exec committee.
Okay.
And it has to go through exec then council. So that's why I said we were going to recommend to council, but I don't think that makes a big difference. And I'd also move to get rid of the two move to, so that I can put. I apologize.
It's I'm just trying to be clear about with this motion, what is it that council is doing? And from what Mark has said, it sounds like council is ratifying. So it would be moves to ratify changes to the relevant document. So if you're okay with that, clerk or Courtney, whoever's keeping the document updated, could you just make those changes?
For sure. I am making those changes. Could I just have another repeat just so I'm perfectly clear?
Okay. And Julia, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the motion would now read, Veloso moves to ratify changes to the, I apologize, this is in the way, moves to ratify changes to the collective agreement between the University of Alberta Students Union and CUPE Local 1368. Okay, and I see a thumbs up from Julia. So we can now proceed with the motion. I would look for a seconder for this motion. I see Adrian has seconded, and now we can move on to debate. So again, if council has questions about the information available, you are welcome to discuss it now. Usually we allow the mover to speak first, but are you wanting Mark to speak to it, or would you like to speak to it, Julia? I see Mark is on the speakers list already, so.
Sorry, sure. I'll speak a little bit to it and we'll defer the rest of my time to Mark. So as you've seen in the report, for the past 9 weeks, a couple of our core managers and also the negotiating committee of QP with our collective agreement with our unionized employees. So you should have received an email from me today with a summary of changes to our collective agreement and also the previous one. Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure the updated agreement hasn't been fully written up yet, and that's why we haven't done it. But I'll defer the rest of my time to Mark.
Sorry about that. The summary of changes is a list of the changes to the old agreement that was also forwarded to you. This is what the union also votes on. We basically sign off on article by article kind of changes. It is not, you're voting on the ratification of changes. In the bargaining process, each party comes to the table with what they want to talk about. They negotiate, but neither the, like when the union goes back to their members for ratification, their members can't come and say, well, what about this clause over here? That's done. So all that matters is the content of the changes. And the changes will be reflected in the text of the agreement when it gets updated. But this is the way we've always done it. We bring you the original document and then the proposed changes so you can see them both. If you have any questions about it at all, I'm happy to answer as best I can or Julia can as well.
Okay, thank you for that introduction to this motion. We will move to Leo, who's next on the speakers list. And just a reminder, Council, you have 4 minute speaking turns and you have 2 speaking turns per motion. If this is something that looks, you feel is going to need like more conversation, we can consider committee of the whole. But for now, the rules that apply are 4 minutes and 2 turns per member. So Leo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I just want to ask, I'm kind of confused with the first preamble changes. So it says the language of the preamble was modernized and removed whereas type clauses. So I'm just wondering what exactly, how exactly was this changed? Because from my experience with writing certain legislations and stuff from Model UN, and to be clear, I don't know how different the expectations are when it comes to these type of legislations or agreements. But from what I know, and also from what I know from Model UN and Youth Parliament, is that preambles should have whereas type clauses. So I'm just wondering, like, what exactly is by the language being modernized? Thank you.
The committees both felt, both our committee and the union and the locals bargaining committee both felt that the whereases and that made it overly formal. There's no legal requirement to have those kinds of words there. The intention was to make it more accessible to the members. And we have a wide variety of members. So the change was made in order to make the text more accessible, basically. Is that, Julia may want to, I'll cede to her if she wants to add to that.
Sure, Julia.
Yeah, I can add a little more. The purpose of accessibility as well, just because the SU employs a large amount of students. So having that sort of accessibility aspect as well is really important to make sure they know sort of their rights in the workplace. But yeah.
Okay, thank you for the question and those answers. I see that Levi is next on the speakers list.
Before I ask, can I do a point of parliamentary inquiry?
Sure.
During this debate, are we not supposed to follow the speaker's list? And like, we seem to have reverted to this call and response type thing, similar to question period.
That is correct. And thank you for bringing that up. I will enforce that. And again, like council, if you want like a more back and forth type of conversation, I'd suggest considering committee of the whole. But in council, just like normal debate format, there isn't a right of reply. And I don't believe that Robert's rules allows yielding your time to other members to like answer a question. So like if we are wanting this kind of like back and forth dialogue, I would recommend a committee of the whole format. But Levi, I believe you also have a substantive point.
Could I do a quick straw poll to see if there's any appetite to do committee of the whole before moving?
I'm not opposed to that.
Are you seeking opposition or a sample?
I'd like to move to committee of the whole.
Okay, that motion is in order. And I believe that just requires a simple majority.
You need a seconder?
Yes, I would be looking for a seconder. Okay, I see Adrian. Okay, so the motion on the floor moved by Levi is, and seconded by Adrian, is to move into committee of the whole format. I'll just be looking for like a simple raise of hands for objections. Are there any objections to this motion? Okay, I do not see any in chambers or on Zoom. So we are now in committee of the whole format, which is more akin to committees. Dialogue is more conversational. There is no limit to speaking turns. So we can proceed in that manner. And Levi, that does, I believe, exhaust your speaking turn. So we can jump off with another person now. And that can be Haroon, since he is next on the speakers list.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sending us the thing. I did a call, so I just have one quick question. Once again, I have something else to say too, but why weren't we just sent, like, I believe Mark already answered this, but just to confirm again, Mark said that we haven't yet gotten the updated agreement yet because of the, because they're still like actually like formal adding it into there, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, and let me clarify, like we have the text for all the exact changes. The summaries that were provided in this are they basically describe it. I'm not sure why the summaries weren't, Julia forwarded what she was given and this is my fault. I missed that. I thought Ellen had included it in the package and she didn't. So yes, there is specific language. Typically we just do a summary of changes and that's been sufficient, but I might be able to pull them up. Ellen's on vacation right now. Otherwise I would, but they're, the negotiations were very relaxed. Like there was no major controversies. I'm happy to answer any specific questions that you have. The whereas is we just changed the wording to remove the requirements of the whereas. The land acknowledgement was based on one of the university's three land acknowledgements and a bit of QP language that they use. It's relatively non-controversial. We did seek out on that advice from First People's House and they referred us to the university statement, so that's why we use that as a basis. The other elements that are there, they're pretty well described by Alan, but I'm happy to give any further color, and if council wishes to table it to get the exact language, that's fine. Again, the language of the specific articles, we sign off on it, like the exact language, and that isn't here, and I apologize for that. But the actual putting it into the agreement doesn't happen because it's actually a big job to edit the document directly until the things get ratified by each party.
What's our wage reopener?
The wage reopener, trying to think if I should put this in closed. The wage reopener was something that was put in place to deal with in the last consideration during the last one, because we were concerned about certain policies of the government and how they would impact our operational viability.
What does that mean?
Sorry. I won't talk about it anymore outside of closed.
Can I move to go on camera?
I believe, would need to exit committee of the whole.
Can I move to exit committee of the whole?
Yes, that would be in order. Is there a seconder to this motion? Julia, any opposition? I see Levi.
Mr. Speaker, an abstention, please.
Sorry, say again, Chanpreet.
Abstention, please.
Abstention? Okay, an abstention is noted for Chanpreet. If the clerk could please note that under this motion. Seeing no other opposition, we are now back in committee of the difference. And I see Haroon.
Can I move to go on camera?
Yes, that is an order. Are there any seconders for that motion? Okay, I see Milan. Okay. So we'll move into a vote on this motion to go in camera. Are there any, is there any opposition to this motion? I see Levi.
Point of procedure, Mrs. Speaker, is this debatable?
Sorry, could you say that again, Chanpreet?
Just a point of procedure. Is going in camera debatable?
Let me confirm that for you. Just one moment. I think for the present time, council might be interested in continuing discussion, and then we can entertain a motion. Adrian?
I have the in-camera FAQ.
Okay.
It's not debatable.
It's not debatable. No. And does it require two-thirds?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, so it is not debatable.
Simple majority.
Simple majority?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll move right into a vote on that. Are there any objections to the motion to move in camera? I see Levi.
Abstention again, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, abstention for Chanpreet Singh is noted. Okay, seeing no objections, council now moves into in camera. So guests of council in person, if you could please leave the room. I'm not sure if there are guests in the reply. This is an open space. Courtney, if there are still guests in the waiting room, could you please let them in? Levi, are you just checking outside? Okay, thank you. We'll just hold for a moment.
For sure, I am letting in two guests, just so you all know. They are coming back into the Zoom meeting.
Okay, thank you. No one? Okay. There was two guests in the waiting room, so I know the gateway sometimes switches to Zoom if they have to wait too long. So with that, we are back ex camera. Alex is next on the speakers list. If you would like your name added, please, please raise your placard or indicate so in the Zoom chat. Alex, are you still wishing to speak to the motion?
Yeah. I don't really have any necessary problems with the changes that you have proposed or that you've presented here. My only problem is with our expectations of us with counselors in regards to something like this. We received this email at 2:40 something today. I'm at work. I don't have any time to actually read through the changes and see what any of this means. And we're being expected as the board of directors for the students' union to approve this without having any awareness of what's going on. My ask for the future of this would be to present this in a way that will show potentially one thing that happens at the Board of Governors when there's a change to a document. There will be a strike through of what's being removed from an agreement and an addition of the new text in a different color. I'd like to ask that we receive something like this in the future so it's in a clear, presentable manner, so we actually know what's being changed to the existing agreement. So that's all I have to add on this here.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure if I said this at the beginning of this motion, but it is within council's ability to table motions if it feels that it needs more time. I'm not recommending that you necessarily do that today, but that is always an option for council. And if that is something council's interested in, I'd probably just suggest to Mark that he shares the implications of that. I see Levi is next on the speakers list.
Just a quick question. When were these proposed changes agreed to with the union, and when do they have to get our ratification back? Do we have time to table this if need be?
I think there's time to table it if you want to get the exact, if you want more information, that's fine. I worry a little bit about how that will play with the union, that might make them nervous, but I'm not that, I mean, that's, whatever you guys want, we will do. They were supposed to do their ratification vote yesterday, but they had a scheduling, or 2 days ago, but it was a scheduling conflict, and they've had to delay their vote till July 8th. The reason we haven't provided information, Alex's points are well taken, so we can certainly do that for things we do in the future. I think that's a very fair point. The reason it wasn't distributed earlier, though, I will explain this, is that we didn't want to get ahead of the union without confirming with their leadership that it was okay for us to distribute the document publicly. So that's why you didn't get it earlier. We just got confirmation of that basically today or late yesterday or something. So we've sent it out as soon as we could. As for the edited version, the strike through version, we can prep that. We don't do it. We don't do it quite that way. We can also just send, how do I put this? There's always a bit of a back and forth with the union about who's going to actually put the changes into the document, and they have to be done and edited and reviewed a bunch of times and signed off on. So we haven't done that piece yet. We wanted to get just the core of it. But again, Alex's comments are very well taken. Sorry to do the response. That's my speaking turn. Sorry.
I also just remembered. So to clarify for council, I know there's been a lot of back and forth. We are no longer in committee of the whole. So the sort of back and forth isn't permissible now. And Haroon, since you just came back in the room, just another reminder that we are now ex camera. So any sensitive topics should not be brought up at this moment. You can still ask a question, but Mark just might decline to answer parts of it. Moving down the speakers list, I see that Alex is on it again. Alex, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking that into consideration, Mark. As you could see from our discussion today, we all would probably really like to see something like that moving forward. So if you can implement that in the future, that'd be awesome. So thank you for taking my comments in stride. And just one other touch up I wanted to have on something you said. You said that you want to be checking in with the union to make sure it's okay to distribute these publicly. Like, we are the board for the students' union. I wouldn't necessarily consider us public members. We are, like you've said, we have a fiduciary responsibility to this corporation. I think that we should be privy to this information to prepare ahead of time. So that's all I want to say on that.
Courtney, if you could please add Mark to the speakers list. We will move to Levi first, though.
Sounds good.
Courtney.
Oh, I just said sounds good. Sorry.
Sorry, I didn't catch exactly what you said. Levi?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I will be voting against this motion, not based on the motion itself. The motion itself is fine. There were changes to the collective agreement between the Students' Union and our employee union, CUP Local 1368. Council is being asked to ratify the changes to the agreement. That's fine. I get that. I don't have a problem with that. I share Alex's sentiments. What I do have a problem with is this habitual practice of getting information at the 11th hour and being expected to make a well-formed decision with it. Again and again, we have motions presented on the late editions with the expectation that they will almost always be special ordered onto the order papers, and we'll get around to dealing with them without the benefit of the weekend to pore over any pertinent documents or do any digging into the matter ourselves. Or in this case, the motion itself submitted on time to the order papers, but the supplementary information we need to properly make a decision isn't arriving until days later, which really isn't any better than the first scenario. While the summary of proposed changes to the collective agreement only consists of a dozen items taking up only two pages, they still came just before 3 p.m. this afternoon, mere hours before our meeting on which we are due to ratify them. I doubt I am alone in maintaining employment, like Alex said, over the spring and summer and finishing late in the afternoon on Tuesdays, after which I go straight to Council Administration Committee, then come straight to Council. CAC finished early tonight, so I was able to skim the summary of changes in that 25 minutes.
Sorry, but Levi, I do have a point of information. We haven't exactly followed this practice to the letter, but how points of information are to be used is interrupt a speaker and pose a question to them. So I just want to see if Leo, do you have a question for Levi specifically, or is it a broader question?
It's a broader thing.
Okay, I will just let Levi finish then, and then we can address it once he's finished. Sorry, Levi, please continue.
So in that 25 minutes, I and others like me may not always get that opportunity. Then there are those counselors who are overseas and joining meetings at odd hours. Getting information only hours ahead of time affects them as well. Regardless of our personal circumstances, we all deserve the full weekend to absorb and digest any and all information related to any and all motions we are voting on. The rationale for getting the summary this late with only 3 hours to spare was because we had to confirm with CUPE that the summary was okay to distribute. That makes sense. We don't want to erroneously share information if it hasn't been declassified yet. But why was this not done sooner so we could have this information to include on Friday as it should be? If it wasn't available for Friday, why couldn't this be delayed to our next meeting in 2 weeks or put to an electronic vote after we've all had adequate time to process it? I am and always have been passionate about improving our accountability and transparency, and surely I can't be the only one. But when we continuously allow this practice of slipping motions or information in either over the weekend or even worse on Tuesday afternoons, we are not improving either of those things and may even be setting them back. We as elected representatives deserve better. Our constituents, as apathetic as most of them may be, deserve better. This ingrained practice needs to stop.
Thank you, Levi, for your comments. I do just want to clarify a point for council. If a motion has been decided, there's a special procedure that Robert's Rules requires we use to reconsider it. It's actually like harder to change a decision once it's already been made. And this just kind of protects the decision-making of this body. So I do hear some dissent being voiced towards this motion. So in that case, just to save us more work down the road, what I think I'd suggest is a motion to table the motion indefinitely. So it can be brought back, or even a motion to table until the next meeting, just so it can be brought back and reconsidered once council has had time to review it properly. Because it's my understanding that this will have to be approved at some point for the collective agreement to be in force. And I don't want us to have to follow this special procedure that I believe requires a two-thirds vote once we do reconsider it. So if there is opposition, I'd recommend that route rather than just voting the motion down. That being said, Leo, I do remember that you had a point of information or something that you wanted to ask.
Yeah, what you just said. Yeah, I was going to ask about the
the tabling. So would it be real dilatory if I motioned for this motion to be tabled?
No, that would be an order at this time.
Okay, so let's motion to table then.
Okay, motion to table. Are you wishing to table indefinitely or until?
Table till next meeting.
Next meeting. Okay, so there's a motion to table item 8A to the next meeting of council. Is that a second, Levi? Okay, I do see a second from Levi. The mover was Leo Huang, H-U-A-N-G. Is there, apologies, just one moment.
Just a point of procedure, Mr. Speaker.
Yes.
Can you move a motion to table from a point?
I think that is correct, actually, yes. Okay, so Leo, I'm going to re-add you to the speakers list, and then we will finish the debate that we have and then come back to you if you'd like to make the motion to table at that time.
Yes, yeah.
You were welcome. Thank you, Chan Preet. Next on the speakers list is Mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple of notes. Thank you. The points, Alex and Levi's points are all well taken. I want to explain, it's not, it was not our preference. The reason it was on the original agenda was because we knew about it. We wanted to let you know that it was coming. The documents were not there because honestly, we thought that the union would be voting on it on Monday and it wouldn't be an issue. We'd be able to get it to you on Monday. That didn't happen. So then we followed up and said, okay, well, we'll ask them if we can distribute it. Our concern is, I mean, Levi understands the concern there. The reason we didn't distribute it earlier, because Alex is right, you guys have total rights to this information, is we don't have a way to securely distribute it. So that's why. If we send you an email and there's nothing stopping someone from just, and we can't track it, to forwarding it around. So I'm sorry to say, it's just about it's just a security thing. When we're doing it in camera here, then that's a different matter. So I apologize for that, but that was our reasoning. And if it's, we can certainly try to find better solutions in the future because I share your concerns and I apologize.
Sorry, my mic was not on. I do see that Haroon is next on the speakers list.
Sorry, my comments weren't directly to, I just wanted to respond to what Mark said. I can kind of understand that, but also here too, what any one of us can just record this, you know what I mean? And none of us would have any better knowledge. So one thing I think I do agree that maybe we should look into finding a way to actually securely send documents. I kind of actually had a question for Julia, can I pose questions?
I can't direct it back to Julia. We're not in committee of the whole format. So she would have to add herself to the speakers list and then answer like on her own volition.
Oh, so it's not like question period where I can ask?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Then I don't think we're going to get to this, but my question was more or less, would there be any perceived issues with us tabling this motion to the next meeting?
Julia, do you want to answer that question? I think just since there is a pending motion to postpone, I think that information might be helpful for council.
Mark already mentioned that. So there isn't necessarily a problem because they are planning to approve this on the 8th of July, I believe. But he did, like he mentioned that it does look a little, like he might, the union might get a little iffy sort of with like us tabling it, but there's no actual problem like Mark said earlier.
Oh, sorry, I missed that.
Okay, thank you. Next on the speakers list is Alex.
Yeah, thank you for thinking about those comments there, Mark. I think that all counselors would probably agree with this, that we should be receiving these kind of documents in advance. So if you can look at a secure way of being able to distribute these, that would be great. I know that you think that emails are not secure, but like you've said, there's no a counselor could just forward the email to someone else. Sure, that's great. I can do the same thing when I receive the board portal documents. I can go ahead and forward those to someone else as well. So I think that us signing our NDAs kind of mitigates that risk, and you would be able to sue a counselor if someone were to forward that. So I don't know if that's really the right concern to have. I think some trust there would be great. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. So if you could look in, if you don't feel email is right to do something like this, and if you and the executive team could look into figuring something out so we can receive these ahead of time, that'd be great. But yeah, I would also support tabling of this so that this doesn't become a habit from management. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I do just want to remind council to keep their comments relevant to the motion at hand. I know there is a concern of like a lack of information or a lack of time needed to review it, but I would suggest that broader conversations about like these practices take place at CAC and not here, or perhaps a motion another day. Moving down the speakers list, I see Levi.
I will put forth that motion to table for a week or to the next meeting, 2 weeks.
Okay, so I see a motion to table, or sorry, the proper terminology that Roberts uses is to postpone. So a motion to postpone item 8A to the next meeting of council. Is there a second for that motion? I see. I believe Leo was the seconder on that. Okay, there is debate allowed on this motion. So are there any members wishing to debate the motion to postpone to the next meeting of council? Mark.
Council should have no concern about voting to table it. It's not going to be it's not that big. It's okay. It's not going to cause us any big problems.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other members wishing to debate this motion? Okay, seeing none, we will move into a vote. I'll be looking for opposition to this motion. Please raise your placards, or if in the Zoom call, raise your hand. Okay, seeing no opposition, item 8A is postponed to the next meeting of council. Julia? I've stated the results, so unfortunately you can't. I didn't notice, I'm sorry. Okay, moving to the next item of business, Levi?
Since we've now just disposed of our first piece of business and we're well beyond our recess, I'd like to suspend the rules to forego our recess. We can just deal with our last item of business.
Okay, that motion is in order. So that motion is to suspend the standing orders to allow us to not take a recess for this meeting. Is there a seconder for this motion? I see Paulina. And this motion is not debatable, it is not amendable, and it requires a two-thirds majority vote. So, Munir? Yes, the motion is to suspend the standing orders to allow council not to recess at this meeting. Okay. Given that there can be no debate or amendments, we will move directly into a vote. I'll be looking for a show of hands for objections to this motion. Okay, seeing none, the standing orders are suspended to the effect that we will not take a recess for today's meeting. Moving to the next item of business, 8B, it is a motion to nominate 5 members of Students' Council to the Social Media Subcommittee. Julia?
Since Councilor Weathermaniac is not here, he asked me if I could move this motion for him, if that's allowed.
Yeah, I'll accept that. So if that could be changed to reflect that Julia is now moving. Thank you. Before we move to like a seconder and the actual motion, I just want to confirm council is just appointing these members directly to the subcommittee, right? Okay, are you okay changing the nominate to appoint? Okay, thank you. Are there any seconds for this, Levi? Thank you. Okay, so this will follow our normal nomination practice. Unfortunately, the CAC isn't here to introduce. Julia, would you like to introduce the motion? Thank you.
So social media subcommittee was a subcommittee created by CAC last year, and its purpose is basically to increase undergraduate student awareness of council by providing students with quick updates on what we do, facilitate discussions between students and their reps, and increasing council participation. So we are looking for for five counselors to create and maintain the social media accounts for council, including Facebook, Instagram, I guess whatever the committee would like to do. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So again, we will follow the nomination process. I will not be accepting self-nominations from the floor. So if there are members who would like to nominate other members, please raise your placards to be added to the speakers list. I see Gerline, I see Haroon, I see Milan, I see Julia, and I see Abdul in the Zoom call. Okay, first, and I also see Polina. First on the speakers list is Gerline, please go ahead.
I would like to nominate Simran.
Simran is nominated.
I'd like to respectfully decline, but thank you.
Simran declines. And just in case there's any confusion, do the members of the subcommittee also need to be permanent members of CAC, or can they just be any member of council? Okay.
Yeah, any member of CAC, which is any member of council.
Okay, thank you. Haroon.
I nominate Councillor Hung, or Leo.
Leo?
I'll respectfully decline that. Thank you.
Leo declines. Abdul?
I'm not sure if Jarv is here, but I would like to nominate her. I think she had a proxy, or I'm not sure if she's here, but I would like to nominate Jarvi.
Jarvi?
Yeah, I would accept.
Jarvi accepts. Milan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Lionel Liu.
Lionel, I'll be looking for a comment in the chat. Lionel accepts. Thank you. Julia?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Reisbig.
Lena?
Thank you, but I have to decline. It was a pleasure, though.
Polina declines. Joanie, were you wishing to be added to the speakers list? Okay. Joanie on the speakers list. Polina?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Singh.
Jen Preets?
I would have to kindly decline, but thanks for the nomination.
Chanpreet declines. Joanie?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Milan.
Milan?
I'll accept, thank you.
Milan accepts. Okay, we, Gerline for speakers list and Haroon for speakers list. Gerline?
I would like to nominate Ibuku.
Ibuku?
Could I ask a clarifying question about the committee?
Sure.
Cool. What's the time commitment looking like?
It was when we created a committee, it was ad hoc, so whenever the committee see fit. And in terms of, so like if you want to take charge on like what responsibility, like actually running the Instagram account, for example, like I did last year, like it's a little bigger commitment, but it's up to the committee and sort of what how they want to distribute work.
Then I'll accept.
Ibuku accepts. Milan for speakers list. Thank you. Haroon?
Yeah, I'll nominate Julia.
Julia?
I'd like to decline. Thank you.
Thank you. Milan?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Rebecca Avila.
Rebecca?
I'll have to decline, thank you.
Speakers list, Julia? Okay, Julia?
I'd like to nominate Jada.
Jada?
Yeah, I decline, but thank you.
Jada declines. We are exhausting. Okay, Polina?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Medina.
Medina? Medina?
Hi, sorry, I respectfully decline.
Medina declines. I see Abner and Joanie for the speakers list. Abner?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Abbasi.
Abdul?
I will accept.
Abdul accepts. That brings us to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'll remove my name from the speaker list.
Sorry, I just want to confirm that I counted that right. We have Abbasi accepted. We have Ojo accepted. We have Regmi accepted. We have Liu accepted. And we have Damija accepted. So that is 5 nominees. Are there any other members wishing to be added to the speakers list? Okay, seeing none. Charvi, Lionel, Milan, Ibuku, and Abdul are declared appointed to the social media subcommittee of CAC. Congratulations. Okay, and with that, we move to the minutes for the last meeting. Courtney, could I just ask you to kind of summarize the amendments that were made to the minutes document?
For sure. So there was only one amendment that was requested specifically, and it was to change the meaning of what was reflected in a comment for President Montero regarding the delegation of authority for the Students' Union in regards to the BSA, and that's been updated.
Okay, thank you. My understanding is that it was a fairly straightforward amendment. Before we move to a vote, are there any councillors who like want to see the actual amendment that was made? Harun? Abner, if you...
Yeah, so in the minutes it stated that I said that BSA is considered to be have delegated authority under the Students' Union, which is not something that I said. So I just wanted to clarify that I said they don't. And if you read the statement, it's conflicting because it says that I said that, and then the second half of the statement reflects the opposite. So I just wanted to clarify.
Okay, are there anything else relating to the minutes as amended? Okay, seeing none, I'll look for a mover to approve the minutes as amended. I see Gerleen, second Milan. And I'll just look for any objections to this. If you could please raise your placards or hands in Zoom. Okay, seeing none, the June 14th Students' Council votes and proceedings are approved as amended. Thank you very much for your patience on that. And that brings us to the end of our business for today's meeting. Before I move into attendance and adjournment, are there any final topics that members want to discuss? Okay, seeing none, I will move into attendance. Abner?
Present.
Gerleen?
Present.
Christian? Just a reminder, please speak into the microphones with them on just so Courtney can hear. Julia?
Present.
Joanie?
Present.
Alex?
Here.
Abdul?
Here.
Haroon?
Here.
Rebecca?
Here.
Thank you. Jada? Jada?
Present.
Leo?
Present.
Jashan? Jashan says present in the chat. Milan?
Present.
Fateh?
Present.
Thank you. Levi?
EC.
Peen?
Here.
Jaden?
Here.
Polina?
Present.
Chanpreet?
Present.
Medina?
Present.
Adrian has left. Lionel is present in the chat. Ibuku?
Here.
Gabriella? Gabriella? Daniela was not present today. Charvi?
Present.
Thank you. Simran?
Present.
Mobashir?
Present.
Thank you. David?
Present.
Rana? Was not present. Vedant? Vedant? And I am present, and Mark? Thank you. Okay, that brings us to the end of today's meeting, and I adjourn at 8:48 p.m.